Lord Jesus, we do believe for it. God, my heart and my mind are tuned to all kinds of prayer requests this week. I think about Bart, who's 45 years old and suffered a stroke this about a week and a half ago, and how his eyes and his dizziness aren't quite cooperating fully. God, we pray for healing. This morning, I received a text from a friend who knows of a person that I absolutely adore, and she said, Rachel, their marriage is on the rocks. I know you're a prayer warrior. Will you pray for them? For another person who sent in a prayer request for one of their beloved who's in the hospital in ICU, God, hear our prayer. For a sister who's struggling with mental health issues, Lord Jesus. For the countless number of persons who've reached out to me this week because of fear, because they don't feel like they belong, because they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Jesus, you promised, even in the valley of the shadow of death, that you would be with us. So God, we're clinging to those promises. No matter where we find ourselves today, God, continue to meet us in this place. Move the immovable. Shake the unshakable. God, we believe. We believe for it. We pray this and we claim this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, friends, go ahead and have a seat. I want to say good morning again. For those of you who are new, my name is Pastor Rachel. I have the absolute honor and privilege of serving here as the lead pastor of this wonderful church. And next week, we are starting a brand new message series. We are diving deep and wrestling with, well, topics in our faith that can be really challenging. It is called Losing My Religion. Anybody remember the REM song from the 90s? Quite a few of you, right? Actually, we're going to take that on next week. But this series is going to be a lot of topics that we don't necessarily, and particularly myself, I don't necessarily talk about in church. We're going to be talking about Christian nationalism, LGBTQ plus inclusion, racism. We're going to talk about the difference between a theology called egalitarianism and complementarianism. Those are big words that we'll discover later. And really how we utilize the scripture to talk about our faith in Jesus. Now, we find ourselves in 2025 with a lot of people shaking their fist at organized religion. They're losing their religion in droves. So what do we do about that? And do we actually care about that? Well, I happen to be a person who does, and I know you are too. This is going to be one of these message series, not that everybody's going to be in agreement, because shocker, we're not all going to be in agreement about this series, but it is a series that we're approaching with a lot of humility, and I think it's going to be helpful really for any human being who's ever wrestled with the church. So if you yourself wrestle with those kinds of things, or even you have friends or family members that do, I want to really encourage you. Invite them to come back for this entire series. It's all of February and then the first week of March as well. And it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be really, really good. So I can't wait to really engage in that series. Can you tell I'm excited? And nervous and excited. So I'm really excited about it. All right, which brings me to today's message. And maybe, just maybe, you remember this little spiritual. It goes something like this. The toe bone's connected to the foot bone. The foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the leg bone. Now hear the word of the... That's right. Dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones. Anybody else remember this story from when I was in Sunday school class? I learned this little ditty. And in Sunday school class, it's about this vision that the prophet Ezekiel has about this valley of dry bones. And God brings this valley of dry bones back to life. Now, when I was a child, I wasn't sure whether or not to be inspired by that song or scared out of my mind, right? This little skeleton song, if you will. But I realize that song reminds us that every piece and part of us is all connected. That as human beings, we have a body, that we are embodied, if you will. And Ezekiel, that's pretty prophetic. Our bodies matter and our health matters. That's very interesting. In these United States of America, we're in a little bit of a health crisis. Do you realize that one in every two adults has a chronic illness? Everything from heart disease to diabetes and a lot in between, one in two adults. Every one in five adults is struggling with some kind of mental health issue. All kinds of things like anxiety and depression are on the rise. And let me just say, it's no wonder, because we're trying to juggle all kinds of things in our lives, from family to work to social media to an ongoing to-do list. I have talked to so many people this week who are struggling because of the politics in our country. And over again, I've had conversation after conversation about protecting health, not just physical health, but mind, body, soul, and spirit. We are deeply connected. You may not realize it, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And today we're going to wrap up this Reclaim series talking about our overall health. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Say that with me. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, over the years, I've had this tendency to want to like separate health into categories. You know, there's mental health, there's emotional health, there's physical health, and then there's spiritual health. But the more I've learned and the longer that I've been alive, I realize that putting health in categories isn't particularly helpful. And one of the categories that I put health in more than anything is this spiritual category, spiritual health. Now, growing up, I was influenced by an understanding of health and healing that placed spiritual health as the highest category. Now, I met many people growing up who believed that all health concerns were first and foremost to be cured by prayer. Listen to what I just said. I said that right. They believe that every health concern could be cured by prayer. Why take a pill for depression if you haven't prayed about it? Now, all one really needed to do was to have a rigorous faith life, and glowing health would follow suit. But friends, that's just not true. And not only is that untrue, but that understanding of health and healing is potentially dangerous. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I do believe in the power of prayer, but I believe that God also chooses to work through human beings in what we experience here on earth as it is in heaven. We need a doctor and we need Jesus. We need Jesus and we need a therapist. Can I get an amen? We need Jesus and a healthy meal plan. Which makes spiritual less of a category and really a part of our overall being. Spiritual health is really woven into it all. When our minds are overwhelmed, it impacts our spirit. When our bodies are worn out, our souls feel it. When our emotions are tangled up, our spiritual clarity dims. It's all connected, just like dim dry bones. Health is embodied. So today, I'm on this quest to reclaim our health, and we're going to take a holistic approach. What does it mean for us to be whole in Christ Jesus? What does it look like to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? Now, that self-love part is part of what it means to be somebody. When one part of our body suffers, the rest of our body feels it. When one part of us begins to heal, the whole of us is empowered to thrive. So let's dive together, heart, mind, soul, and strength, as we seek to reclaim abundant, connected, whole life health that God desires for each and every one of us. Open your Bibles and your Bible apps with me again to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the Apostle Paul has been discipling this group of Jesus followers, and they find themselves bombarded by a number of conflicting messages. Ephesus was one of the Meccas of the Roman world, and there's such a wide variety of cultures colliding. Of course, Greek and Roman influences, but also this is a destination city. I mean, people are traveling to this place, and they're bringing their cultures with them. And religion, well, religion was a big business in Ephesus, centered around the worship of Artemis and her temple. People were making claims about the healing attributes of statues and trinkets and bathing rituals and even potions. It sounds like a regular day on Instagram, doesn't it? And religion and health are not two separate categories. They are one and the same. There's this direct line between the physical and the spiritual and everything in between. And today, these Jesus followers find themselves with a whole lot of folk asking or giving their opinion. And it was tempting for these people to follow the latest healer, the most popular healer. Let's revisit Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. Paul says, and so I insist that God backs me up on this, that there'll be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They refused for so long to deal with God that they lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go and sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. That's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you've paid careful attention to Jesus, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, Paul says, and I do mean everything, connected to the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. Then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside out, working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces God's character in you. Now, sometimes when we think about the first century and health and healing, it's hard for us to think about that first century as being anything but antiquated. But human beings are still human beings. And maybe we too find ourselves struggling to not follow the latest healer. I mean, we might have different names for them, but maybe this sounds familiar. Have you ever, like, researched gut health and found yourself scrolling through a series of YouTube videos produced by an influencer who is convinced, absolutely convinced, that gut health is the key to all health? Or maybe you suffer from a chronic illness only to attempt to see doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor who can't figure out what's going on with your body. Or how confusing is it to decide what life-extending diet you're supposed to choose? I mean, a desire to be whole and healthy is good, but it's a challenge. There is so much information out there. We're on information overload. Say that with me, information overload. For example, when I'm looking at a health issue that I'm having, let's say a hip injury, I do what every other human being does. I what? Google it. And so I start Googling, and before I know it, I'm on WebMD, and then I think I have something really critical. And then if I'm not satisfied with those answers, I go to the internet because, you know, that's where all the good information is. And so I look at social media video after social media video to figure out what's going on with my hip. And it's so daggone confusing and not helpful at all. I mean, have you experienced the sheer volume of health advice out there? One headline says that you should drink more water. But the another headline says not too much. Too much water is a really bad thing for you. Another podcaster declares you need cardio to stay healthy. But the other one says, no, cardio is bad for you. You should actually be lifting weights, eat more protein, cut out the carbs, meditate daily, sleep 8 hours, but not over 8 hours, because that could be really bad for you as well. How many of you are overwhelmed like I am, right? What is it? What are we supposed to be doing here? This is information overload. And by the time we've scrolled through all of this stuff, we are overwhelmed, we are anxious, and truthfully, less healthy than before. Less healthy than before. What makes all this health talk even harder is the pressure to fix ourselves in a world that's offering conflicting advice and quick fixes. We are bombarded by products and programs and plans promising instant results. I can't tell you how many Januaries I've started out a new workout program, or a new fad diet, or even, God have mercy on my soul, tried to juice my way, right, into a healthier self. I mean, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. I've wanted an easy answer, a quick fix. Please give me a magic pill. But there are no magic pills. Reclaiming our health isn't about quick fixes or even chasing perfection. It's about making intentional small steps toward wholeness, loving ourselves, and trusting that God's grace is with us in the process. And Jesus reminds us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came that we might have life and have it to the full, a life marked by not chaos and overwhelm, but by peace and purpose and connection. Paul encouraged the Jesus followers at Ephesus to set aside the noise of the crowd and to quiet those negative voices and to lean into a new way of living, a healthy life rhythm. We got to root out the old patterns that are no longer serving us and replacing them with small, sustainable changes that bring new life to a path of health. One authentic step at a time. So let's revisit Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Paul says, since we do not have the excuse of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything connected to what old way of life has to go. It is rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside, working itself through into your contact as God accurately produces God's character in you. Renewed from the inside out. Say that with me. Renewed from the inside out. Now, I imagine there are some folk here listening to this message, and you have a really healthy view of yourself. You love yourself. You have accepted the limitations of your body. You've done the incredible deep work of retraining your brain. You are in a good place with you. You love you, which is incredible. Now for the rest of us. Many of us find ourselves still shoulding ourselves. I should do this. I should exercise more. I should read my Bible more. I should be meditating more. I should be getting more sleep. Should. You didn't think I said that, but anyhow, should be shoulding yourself, right? Like you have been doing this over and over again, and you feel great. You don't feel great about yourself, and when you don't feel great about yourself, it seeps into every area of your life, your relationships, your energy. You know, when we don't feel great about us, we lose our motivation to even do the things we love to do. You struggle to love yourself. But friends, renewal starts with loving you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yourself. Author and vulnerability guru Brené Brown often shares about her experience of a breakdown, or she calls it her spiritual awakening, during what she humorously terms her midlife unraveling. Like many human beings, she was striving to be perfect. The perfect spouse, the perfect parent, the perfect professor, the perfect researcher. But inside, on the inside of her, she felt like she was never enough. She was falling apart. She wasn't enough. She realized that her constant drive for perfection and external validation was actually rooted in shame, the fear of not being enough. In her words, owning your story and loving ourselves through that process is the bravest thing we'll ever do. After a lot of research, she discovered that self-love isn't about being perfect. It's actually about embracing our imperfections and believing that we're worthy just as we are. She explains that we often think we can only love ourselves after we've accomplished something. Lost the weight, get the promotion, meet someone else's expectations. But true self-love begins by accepting that we're enough, even in our messy imperfections. I'm enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm enough. Turns out that Stuart Smalley was right. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you, right? Now, for those of you who are much younger, you have no idea what we're talking about, but All laughs aside. You got to love yourself right where you are. To recognize no amount of achieving, losing pounds, gaining muscle, whatever striving you're trying to do, is going to fill the void of love within. Now, at the beginning of the series, I invited you to choose one or two rocks, God-centered priorities, to focus on over the next 90 days. Now, for many of you, one of those rocks may be reclaiming your health. And I celebrate that with you. But here's the key. You gotta start small. And it's gotta be doable. Lasting change does not happen because of dramatic overhauls. It comes from simple, sustainable habit changes. James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, says, you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And sometimes all it takes to build a system is a 1% change, a tiny step that compounds over time into something far greater. You don't need to have it all figured out today. Pick one keystone habit, one small, meaningful action that can lead you to another change. Maybe you're going to decide, I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to move my body for 10 minutes a day. I'm going to commit myself to getting more sleep. One keystone habit. One keystone habit, and does more than like impact one area of your life. It builds momentum. It becomes the foundation for future confidence and success. I mean, think about this process as like compound interest. When you make a small deposit of change in your life, like today, 1% improvement, you may not notice the results right away, but over time, that habit grows. One healthy choice leads to another, and another, and another. Now, I've seen this in my own life. You know, when I get up in the morning, I just did this on Saturday morning. I haven't been walking outside this week because who is crazy enough to do that, right? But what the problem is, it's like 3 days in a row that I didn't walk outside, and suddenly, like, I'd rather stay in my bed than actually brave the cold. And I was like, suck it up, buttercup. Put on your shoes, get some warm clothes on, and get outside. It was 15 degrees, feels like 5, right? But you know what? Only my nose was cold, right? My whole body was warm except for my nose. But if I don't get back out there and start doing it, it is so easy to stay in bed. And when I walk, I choose a better breakfast. When I walk, I'm a happier person. I'm much more patient with my children. That one keystone habit really does trickle into the rest of my life. What is that keystone habit for you? I mean, it's important. It builds a small win. It makes you confident, and that confidence inspires us to keep going. It's just human nature. Momentum matters. Momentum matters. But here's the truth. You don't have to do this alone. Ask God for help. As you choose your keystone habit, remember, the Holy Spirit is your guide. John 16:13 tells us the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. We have this incredible ability to connect with God and say, okay, God, this is the desire of my heart. I know you want me to be a whole healthy human being. Help me figure out where to begin. Give me the wisdom to be renewed from the inside out. Now, in order to do that, it takes a commitment to live a God-fashioned life. Say that with me, God-fashioned life. God-fashioned lives are intentional lives. We got to walk this out every day. It doesn't happen by accident. It requires systems. We got to create systems that make life easier to live in alignment with our goals and priorities. When it comes to reclaiming our health, setting up our surroundings is key. We got to make our healthy choices so obvious that we don't miss it. Like, for example, let's say you want to eat healthier. Well, start meal planning. Because when you have that meal right in front of you, it's a whole lot easier to eat that healthy meal than to think like at 5 o'clock at night, or like 6 or 7 or 8, you're going to like grab something healthy. Or maybe you want to walk more or even go to the gym. So you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay out my clothing the night before because I'm going to see it. And when I see it, it's going to remind me it's time to work out. Whatever it is that you need to do, do it so that you can help yourself. Intentional choices make, kind of remove the decision fatigue, and it makes it easier to follow through. Now, we were never meant to do life alone. When it comes to reclaiming our health, it's incredibly helpful to find a friend, a walking partner, a running buddy, a group of people to play basketball with, or to even share healthy meal ideas with. I mean, God designed us for community. Ecclesiastes 4:9 reminds us, two are better than one. Because they have a good return for their labor. We need people. We need other people to cheer us on when we stumble and celebrate those small wins along the way. And this truth for me has been absolutely transformational. I've had seasons in my life, especially those like seasons where I wanted to train for a marathon. If I didn't have a running buddy, it was never going to happen. Because I knew that person was depending on me to get my tail out of bed at 5:30 in the morning and to lace up my sneakers and to get out there with them. Who can that person be for you? As you think about reclaiming your health, who could you ask to invite you on this journey? Who could you call to go for a walk this week? Who could you text to say, hey, I need you to pray for me because I want to eat healthier and I need an accountability partner. Maybe it's someone who's a part of your small group, a trusted friend, even a spouse. Do not underestimate the power of doing this together. God works through the people around us. that help us to keep moving forward step by step toward abundant life that God desires for each and every one of us. Why? Because God has a purpose for us. You know, this whole life health thing isn't just about like being healthier. Even sometimes people get so focused on their outward appearance. It's not about that. Here's a little truth. When we are healthier, when you make those intentional choices, we can enjoy life more. We can enjoy the people around us more. Actually, we can live out the calling that God has placed on our life more abundantly. When we are healthy, truth is we are more available for God and other people. Now look, I understand that health is not a guarantee. But what we do have the power to control, what God has placed in our hands, let us be good stewards of this body that we've been given. Friends, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are somebody. And I want to encourage you to reclaim your health so that you are available for God's incredible purposes. We're going to close up this message by praying a prayer together that's written on the screen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for creating me as somebody, fearfully, wonderfully, and intentionally made in your image. Help me to love myself as you love me, to care for my body, mind, and spirit in ways that honor you. Guide me, Holy Spirit, as I take small steps to reclaim my health, trusting that you will renew me from the inside out. Surround me with a community that encourages and supports me on this journey. Lord, strengthen me to live a life, God-fashioned life, walking daily in the abundant wholeness you desire for me. Amen and amen. Well, friends, I want to remind you that I love you. More importantly, that God's loved you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. So as we continue to reclaim our priorities, to reclaim our faith, to reclaim our community, and now our health, I pray we take all of that, more than anything, and shower everyone we encounter with God's unconditional love. God be with you. Amen and amen.